Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, first today, we want to talk about the news Ellen mentioned there a few moments ago, that families are receiving letters about hip operations on their children from about 15 years ago. And you'll know the HSE announced an independent review into hip surgeries in children. This was actually announced last July. The plan was that it was going to look at a random anonymised sample. They were going to examine the criteria for a very specific type of hip surgery in young children between 2021 and 2023. And they've been examining whether the criteria used for surgical intervention, if that varied between some of the hospitals, and if the surgery was even required at all in all cases. It doesn't seem to be known yet how high this figure could be, how many children, how many families are affected. Elaine is with me on the line today because, Elaine, I believe you are one of the parents who received a letter from CHI, from Children's Health Ireland, in relation to your daughter's surgery.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
When did you get that letter, Elaine?
I got that letter, I'd say, almost 6-7 weeks ago now.
And your daughter had previously had a hip surgery?
Yes, she did. She had a hip surgery in 2019.
So she wouldn't fall into the review then that's being carried out from 2021 to 2023, but we know that this dates back about 15 years.
Yes. As it stood, I think it was 21 to 23, but now I believe it's gone back as far as 10 years from today.
So that's how your daughter falls into the catchment of this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What kind of surgery, Elaine, did she have?
So she had the osteomy surgery, it's called. It's called Salter's bilateral osteomy. So basically what they do is they saw bone from the pelvis and then take that bone and connect it to the sockets, and she had it on both sides. So they done double hips.
And in the lead up to this, Elaine had how was she, and how was your daughter's mobility?
Her mobility was okay. So the reason that I brought her to my GP was she had a torn in her right foot, and when she started to walk, she was kind of like clumsy, you know, she'd bump into walls and kind of bumping her head and stuff. So I noticed a torn in her right foot, and I brought her to my GP, and the GP then sent her to one of the hospitals for an x-ray. So she had her x-ray, and then the radiologist report said there was very mild findings of hip dysplasia. So she was off by 1 millimetre on both sides, and it needed an orthopaedic input. So we went for the appointment to the orthopaedic surgeon, and he basically just said that he needed to perform this surgery on her, and it was both sides. And, you know, I kept raising the concern of, but my issue was her foot. It's not really, she had no symptoms of having any hip issues. Mm. Even on examination, her physical exam was normal. She'd no symptoms. She wasn't a breech delivery. There was no risk factors, like there's no family history. There was no reason for her to have this condition other than her being female, is what the consultant had said to me.
Okay.
So I was asking, would they try casts or anything else before they actually, you know, saw and removed bone from her pelvis? And the consultant had said, you know, but if we didn't do it by the time she's 30, she'll need 2 full hip replacements. And because she's female, you know, little girls like to wear heels and stuff like that when she's older.
Yeah.
So then we ended up having the surgery based on the opinion of the consultant.
Okay.
But when I got her medical chart back, there was, like, she had no clicky hip on examination. Both of the legs were symmetrical. There was not, she was essentially 100% normal, except for this 1 millimeter difference, which I now know from a second opinion that you wouldn't really necessarily operate on a child like that. Like being in that normal category, there was no indication for her to have that operation, according to the second opinion that I got. So yeah, very concerned now. She had no follow up. She had a 4-week follow up X-ray, and then she had a 6-month X-ray. And from the clinical notes that I have from the medical chart, you can see that I raised my concerns about the torn in her foot and the original issue that I went for. And the doctor had said, at the 4 week appointment, it's too early to assess the leg, and he'll assess it at the 6 month appointment. So at the 6 month follow up appointment, I addressed concerns again. And basically, they just said it was coincidental finding, not related to the hips at all. And he's not concerned about the foot and it will correct itself in the future. So,
and did
it? So still the foot. Sorry?
Did it correct itself? The foot issue?
Yeah, not 100%, but it's better than what it was before. Okay. Yeah, but it was just the one side. It was the right side. So she had her four week follow-up appointment, and then she had a 6 month follow-up appointment. And at that appointment, I still did address the concerns in the foot, but he just said it should correct itself. I'm not worried. And he discharged her from his care, which I was a bit concerned about as well. Given I have a medical background myself, I did say, does she not need to be followed up for such an invasive procedure for such a small child?
What age was she, sorry, Elaine, at the time of the surgery?
So at the time, she was three. She was two years and 11 months. We actually had a birthday party a couple of weeks early because we knew she was going to have the surgery.
Yeah.
And then she was in a brace then for 2 weeks after that.
Okay. Two years and 11 months. And has there been any further follow-up aside from the six-month appointment, Elaine?
No.
Nothing.
So he was discharging her then when I still was mentioning about the foot, and he said, I'm going to discharge her from my care. And as I said, I asked him, do you not need to follow up, you know, with the procedure and the hips and stuff? And he said no, and discharged her.
Okay.
So she hasn't had any x-rays since she's 6 months post-op. And with the second opinion that I got, the consultant had said the child should have x-rays until her bones are fully developed. So as it stands, he said she could have arthritis for all you know, or the hip operation could have failed. So I don't know what stage she's in now, because I still haven't had her. She has to have a physical exam and go through more tests.
So you heard about this review that has been carried out effectively, or when it was first raised by a whistleblower 2 years ago back in 2023. And then last year we heard, Elaine, that the HSE was going to carry out this independent review. And what were your initial thoughts when you heard that? Because there was nothing to say that your little girl was included in that review.
I didn't actually even know about the audit. I haven't even heard of it. I just received a letter from Temple Street a couple of weeks ago, and then my sister actually seen about the audit and she said it to me. And I obviously didn't realise what the letter was about. I seen that they wanted to give her a follow-up appointment because the findings of the audit suggest that the kids should be monitored until their bones are fully developed. So when I actually read the letter again after seeing the audit and went through all the information, and the fact that I haven't heard from them in years, I was actually sickened. I lost sleep. I couldn't eat. It's just very disturbing. And I'm still kind of in, you know, that state where I'm like, is she one of them? Isn't she one of them? Even though I've had a second opinion, and, you know, I believe she is. But it's very shocking, and it's really, really disturbing, to be honest.
You don't know, Elaine, I can't begin to imagine for you and any other parents listening to you today or listening to this, not knowing is
my... And she was potty trained as well, you know. She had her big girl pants on and we had to put her back in nappies and trying to learn to walk again. And just to think that she went through all that for nothing is actually shocking. Like, it's so wrong.
Will you stay with me, Elaine, for a few moments, if you don't mind, and thank you for sharing your story with us, because it's I know it's pretty traumatizing for you as a parent talking about your 3 year old daughter in this way. I've got the Padder Tobin is with us too, Elaine. Padder's the A2 leader. Just how bad is this, Padder?
First of all, this is breathtaking. There was a 2 year audit carried out. We understand that about 561 people have been included in that audit. So that means if the government is now going back 15 years, we're talking about potentially 4,000 people who could be included in the new broader trawl in relation to this. And what we're talking about is children, who underwent significant, dangerous, painful, unwarranted surgery, potentially in some cases, and you know, people and children whose were damaged potentially in relation to the surgery that they underwent. If they didn't need it,
do
and
we,
had the surgery.
Do we know that, Padder? Sorry to cut across. Do we know that
What we know is that in some cases children didn't need this surgery, and that there is potentially a situation where there could have been damage in relation to children in relation to this. And that's very significant. And, you know, I left a young son of mine in a theatre when he was very young, and I saw the fear in his eyes as I walked out of that theatre. It wasn't for this particular procedure, thankfully, but if I find it very hard to walk out of that particular theatre. I felt confident at the time that I was leaving my son in the hands of somebody and people who knew what they were doing. But I can imagine the fury that I would experience now if I felt that, you know, in hindsight, that procedures did not have to take place at all, and that potentially the people did not know exactly what they were doing. There was a serious lack of oversight in relation to this. You know, there's obviously the enforcement of adequate safeguards wasn't in place. And, you know, I think that the lack of information currently is excruciating for parents. Parents need to be able to find out what happens to their children in relation to this. And, you know, I would call for that audit for that particular 2 years to be published as soon as possible. And the letters that the parents are receiving, you know, hold very little information. I would be calling for, you know, the government really now to engage on a very close level with parents and to give them the full facts of what happened in their families' cases.
I know I heard Pat mention it a little earlier today that a spokesperson for the health minister had said that, you know, she's no comment at the moment because she hasn't actually received this report, but she has told the Dáil, or did tell the Dáil last month, that she's happy to have a full debate on this when the report is issued. Is it not the kind of thing we need to sit tight until we get this report before we have any kind of interference and maybe jump to conclusions unnecessarily, Patter?
Well, my understanding is that the report is next to complete. And you know, there was a debate about this a couple of weeks ago in the Dáil. And at that time, we were told that there was proofreading to be done in this report. And I understand, and you're right, in terms of maybe putting this report into the public domain or even in the hands of opposition TDs. We need to be cautious until the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. But for the parents themselves, I think at this stage, given that the bulk of that report, the vast majority is complete, I think that we need to talk to parents and make sure parents know exactly what's happening here. And I do think, you know, there is a serious lack of oversight and a lack of accountability within the senior level of the civil service and some elements of the public service. And, you know, the idea that really the CHI board has remained pretty much intact during this particular crisis and also into the insertion of the faulty springs into children, you know, that's it is very, very hard to understand in a society that demands accountability, that individuals tasked with the oversight and with the enforcement of safeguards in the health of our children who failed in that are still in place. It's very hard to understand.
But I suppose before, you know, we start calling for heads, we need to get the outcome of what actually ascertained what happened.
We do have, you know, in relation to the other issue here that involves CHI, where we do know that there were surgical coils and springs inserted into children that shouldn't have received them, you know, there does need to be accountability. My worry in this is that this is going to be dragged out. My worry in this is that parents' anxiety and fear will be dragged out as well. And I'm calling for the minister to sit down with parents, speak directly to them, and let them know what happened to their children.
It's the bit, I suppose, that I've sort of struggled with this, you know, since hearing about it in recent months, and particularly even again this morning, Patter. I imagine now that at this point today, at 12 o'clock this Tuesday afternoon, probably any parent who's had a child that required this kind of particular hip surgery that we're talking about in the past decade is probably wondering, is my child among this potential list of children who may not have necessarily required this operation? It's got to be the unknown.
Yeah, so, and you know, absolutely. And this is the problem here for me, is that we're discussing this in the public domain. Parents who have had children undergo these types of operations will be very, very concerned. And yet the engagement hasn't happened with parents. Surely the engagement should have happened with parents at a far deeper level first, to make sure that they know what happened or what didn't happen, if they're in a particular trawl of operations or not, before this gets into the public domain and is discussed publicly, because, you know, for any parent in this situation, you know, the most precious item in your life is the protection of your child. You're hardwired to protect your child. And there's going to be serious anxiety in parents in relation to whether or not the children have undergone unnecessary or potentially damaging operations in this. And this is why, like, the minister should be taking a hands-on approach in terms of meeting and sitting down with parents in relation to this. First and foremost, letters received with very little information by parents are simply not good enough.
Pádraig Tobin, Angel Leader, we'll leave it there for the moment. Look, we have it's the letter, Elaine, that was sent to you as one of the parents in relation to this. And I should say that at the end of that letter, that the CHI, Children's Health Ireland, say that their priority is the safety of their patients, ensuring timely access to quality care, that they engage in clinical audits in line with the HSE standards and policy, use it as a tool to improve patient care and outcomes, and that they're committed to the improvement of our services. We'll keep you informed as required as we move towards finalisation and the completion of this audit. That is the end of the letter, the 5-paragraph letter sent to parents. And I've no doubt there'll be further discussion around this and around accountability too, in whenever this review, of course, this independent review is finalised and is completed. But Elaine, maybe just on a final point, because you are one of the people who's received a letter today, and we don't even know, as you say, if you're affected, because this is still very much the unknown. But are you satisfied with the communications that have been made with you from the CHI and from the Health Minister and the HSE to date?
No, I haven't received anything other than the audit letter. I did email CHI 2 weeks ago, just saying, you know, how stressed I was, how unconcerned, like, yeah, I feel like nobody's kind of communicating with me and I don't know what's going on. You know, is my child one of them? Is she not? And then, of course, it's my own guilt. You know, I'm supposed to advocate for my child. She's, you know, my life, and I'm supposed to protect her. And I feel like I let her down, because at the time I did have concerns, and there's a lot of guilt there as well. As, you know, I knew better. Even when she was discharged after 6 months, I knew she needed further follow-up treatment. And I just kind of trusted the medical professionals to, you know, make the best choice for my child, as if it was their own children. So a lot of that, with the lack of communication.
You shouldn't feel any guilt in relation to this. I've no doubt that you're one of hundreds of parents possibly listening to this conversation today who feels in the very, very same, you know, position, and you shouldn't, because
feel the lack of,
you know, and as I said, like, it's very difficult even to talk about this without, you know, and to not jump to conclusions, because I know that parents are obviously, like you, worried and anxious, and the lack of information creates a void, and it allows for discussions to take place. And I should say, we have asked the CHI, we've asked Children's Hospital, or Children's Health Ireland, I should say, to join us on the programme today. We haven't heard back from them. Maybe we'll get a statement. We'd love to talk to somebody in CHI today if they'd like to join us, or even if they want to send us in a statement in relation to this, in relation to some of the issues raised by Elaine around the lack of communication. You can give us a call, 1800 453 106. Drop me an email if you want, either lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But Elaine, listen, thank you for joining us today and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, I did. As I said, I emailed CHI 2 weeks ago. I asked that my daughter was going to be included in the audit because I received a medical chart, and I was actually shocked by the clinical notes that, you know, the consultant had written, and the concerns I voiced were just totally dismissed. And I asked that she be included in the audit, and they communicate with me and let me know. And I haven't heard absolutely anything from anybody since they did receive it, because I got a kind of a delivery report to just acknowledge that they received the email.
Okay.
And I haven't heard anything at all. So, you know, but when I think back, like, the level of coercive that went on, I feel like I didn't have informed consent. I feel like if I had if they had said to me exactly what the radiologist had said and what was in our medical chart,
okay, You obviously take the medical advice and nothing to say that that it is inappropriate or untoward or was wrong in any way, and we should make that point as well. Elaine, look, thank you for getting in touch with us, for sharing your story with us today. That's Elaine here in Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.